going to the last, I guess you could say the flame of love is flaming out as far as the series is concerned. But we're hoping that the flame of love, the presence of God that is there, that's manifest, his manifest presence with you that you see on your notepad, the way we've described that, is as the Holy Spirit comes and moves on you, is something that is just beginning, and that you're in a season of his presence, her presence. Again, those adverbs that are there, not adverbs, what do you call those? Pronouns. That's a big word there. I don't speak English. It's not my first language. Sarcasm is. But I'm bilingual. But in that, one of the things, we don't see pronouns used in either the Greek or Latin, though at times we see female and male things there. So we say him and her in that sense, so you get that impact of Holy Spirit. Our hope is that your understanding of Holy Spirit, your understanding, a word that's a big word, it's called pneumatology. Pneuma meaning wind and breath. Tology, the understanding and study of that, is something that you now have begun to have a robust understanding of. That you don't just come and think, well, when we say Holy Spirit, we're expecting someone either to speak in tongues, to prophesy, and or fall down. And we've relegated those things to the Holy Spirit, the crazy uncle type situation, which were more than welcome to those things. But saying Holy Spirit is moving much more than just here. Holy Spirit, for those of us who come from other backgrounds, was just the one who wrote the Bible and he retired. He was a retired author. And so in this case, we're understanding Holy Spirit is very present, always present, moving, and he is, and she is moving here now. So today, in this final session that we're going to do, is that we're going to see this here, that the Spirit of truth is the one who guides us in the truth. When we think of Holy Spirit, we think of Spirit of truth, which is the way he said. If you look here at John 16, 13, right away we see Jesus saying this here. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And when we think of that, we say, well, Holy Spirit's going to be what I rely on. I don't need, why did we hand out Bibles? Why do we hand out all these things? Well, the truth always has been grounded in Scripture, even from the Jews on into the new Christian faith that would come out of that. And we see this here when we look at Jesus meeting the woman at the well. This is what he says. He says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth. The woman said, well, I know that Messiah. I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, well, I'm the one speaking to you, and I am he. We see this discussion about truth that he's having with the woman at the well, a pericope or story that is there. You might want to go read on your own, read in context. But he meets this woman at the well who is a Samaritan woman who has a different understanding, a different theology, but similar theology to those in the Southlands that would have been there of Judaism. And so when she's talking to him, they're having this discussion about which mountain to pray at and all these other things. And Jesus, she starts saying, I know these theological things. She didn't use that term. My understanding of God would be a better way to say that. Jesus says this here, I am the truth. Meaning this here, I'm speaking to you. I'm the one who's he who's come to explain these things. They're talking about scriptures. And we see scripture and truth being connected tremendously. That when we want truth, we look at scriptures that are there. They become the thing to which we go back. If you say today that God told me to go off and to crash my car into a building, I would say, let's look in scripture, some of the things that might attest that that might be incorrect. You know what I'm saying? We would go back to scripture. And then we would say that also sounds pretty stupid. But you also have your mind as well, and you might also go to your community, and they might all say, we know you, we know your car, it's a little Kia, don't do that. So, I mean, we see ways of hearing the Word of God in that way, but Scripture becomes the way that we look at truth. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. And when it comes to truth, and we're looking at these things, looking at Scripture, remember what 2 Timothy 3 says to us when Paul writes this here, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Who has read that before? Raise your hand. Who has used that on someone before? Go ahead and raise your hand. Yes, that's right, because it's the truth. And that's, of course, when you get into some scripture going, how do I teach this? So let's be aware that what he's talking about, that we go in formality, to a sense, to the scriptures to find truth. Now, no one's arguing that here today, but the point is, knowing the scripture may have some things in it that we have to look at, things we have to define and go, why is that in scripture? What is Samson in scripture for? What's he doing? What's that all about? Well, that's about catching foxes and lighting their tails on fire and putting them out in the cornfield and having riddles about lions and honey and taking people's clothes. Good luck teaching Samson. Someone recently did that. That's very good. Praise God. But you understand, we all know that there's scripture that's a little hard to be got, that we would find difficult. But we know that God has inspired that. But we look at the woman at the well, and like a lot of us, we have a fixed theology like she did. Let me explain what I mean by that. In our head, we understand God in the way that the understanding of him was formed in our early days. As a kid, through the prayers that maybe we were taught to pray, maybe just our life of who God was. Maybe we had a neighbor who talked about him. In Teresa's case, my wife, she had a pig that she talked to a lot, and he kind of explained some things to her. This is the way she sells it. But the point is that we have an understanding of God. Maybe it comes from your early Christian days. Perhaps you went to a church and you had a very formative pastor who taught you a lot of things. These things are awesome. But the problem is they become fixed, just as the woman at the well did. They're never changing. And you say, well, there's a reason why they don't change. And that is because God never changes. Fair enough. God never changes. But our understanding of God certainly does. And you might say, well, I don't know what you're trying to say. Well, I'll say this here. My understanding of God as a good and wonderful God comes under some scrutiny when I lose a child or I lose a loved one. I have to begin to think of who God is in this situation. He's real. He is a good and faithful God. But the way I understand it becomes a different way than it's there. We have to weigh things out. We have to understand this here, that a theology that does not inquire after God's will for the present is not the kind of theology that we can live with. Meaning this here, I've got a theology, this is what it is. Well, that's fine. But your life experiences and things you come across are going to challenge that, and the way you understand things is there. We understand this right here, that doctrines are timely witnesses, not timeless abstractions. They're not just something put there to hold us, that they are speaking to us for our life that's going on. And theologians, or what I would call each one of you who are students of the Word of God, need to understand it right here, that to understand the Word, we read it, we wait on God, we wait for more. We say, come, speak to me. What's going on? Why am I reading Samson? What are you trying to speak to me through Samson? What's going on? And out of our interaction with God and these challenges here, and most of you understand this here is called, what's that called, Susan, when you wait on, read scriptures and wait on them? Yeah, Lectio Divina. That is not a bad word. First time I was asked if I did Lectio Divina, I blushed. But it just means, I don't know if I do or not, this point of waiting, reading, waiting. Some of you are scared. That's okay. That's right. Ancient practices there. And out of that interaction with our experiences and challenges, which call for a response from us, when we get these fresh insights, we begin to go, hey, maybe I need to act on this. But when the issues that we're facing today, guys, when the life is changing today that we had before, we look at the scriptures and we reflect on them, because if they're just about what's wrong and what's right, that doesn't inform us how we act in the presence of someone that we're to be showing love to. How do I show love to my enemy when my enemy now isn't just someone who's trying to pluck at my beard, but someone who's got a machine gun? How do I do these things becomes a little bit deeper than just quoting scripture back to someone with a machine gun. We have to say, Lord, how do I deal with these things that are going on, with sexuality as it is today? How do I deal with this? How do I speak to someone? How do I become someone who's open for you to use me in a powerful way, and also someone who speaks into my life? Spirit must be our guide as we search the scriptures for truth. Now, some of you are getting scared because you say, well, doesn't this make it just wide open for anybody? Well, unfortunately, back when the Reformers left the Catholic Church, they said, we didn't get anything. We didn't get anything. We didn't get a pope. We didn't get nothing. The only thing we got was the Bible. And the Bible became our pope, if you will, in a sense. It became what we went to. The problem is that everyone who's went to the Bible would sit back and say, all you got to do is read it, and it is what it is. The problem is that you can get to 4,000 theologians sit down and read the same scripture, and you might get to a thousand different abstract ways of looking at that. So we understand that we're looking at things saying, feed me, speak to me, let me see what's truth. It takes a little bit more than what we thought it might be in there. So it's essential to discern how God is acting and where Christ is in the events of history, meaning when we look at scripture, it's got some things in it that make it a little bit challenging that's there. The Spirit's guiding. It's luring us. It's wooing us, influencing us, drawing all humanity, not just the church. It continues, the Holy Spirit, to pull us to God, the Father. It continues, in my belief as a Christian, to pull us all to the truest understanding of what Spirit's leading to, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And not everyone gets there. And where that stands with God, I leave that to God. But I'm saying right here, I know that's what the Holy Spirit's moving me toward. Not just how to be a better person, but to understand Christ in the fullness of who he is and become the person that he's called me to be and the person who he is. So as we look at this, and the Spirit's guiding us in this, I believe the Spirit is speaking to everybody. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that he wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So I believe he's speaking. The problem is not everyone's listening. And often we don't know how to hear his voice. So there we sit, him speaking. I don't believe he's sitting back going, Dom, you're a bad person. I'm not going to talk to you today. That's the way we react with one another. It's not what God's doing. He's speaking. But our understanding, our ability to hear him, could be challenged. Are you with me this morning? So a good theology or a good understanding of Scripture requires that we must not only read the Bible, but that we listen to what the Spirit's saying. And who among us doesn't know God and discern him better when we sit back and begin to listen to him? There's challenges and the circumstances that are there require that we listen to him for fresh eyes or and fresh ears to hear what he's saying to us today. And this is done not in isolation, unfortunately. We like isolation. I like to come up and tell you what the Lord said to me today. I read this in Scripture and launch a whole new church based on that. We see churches launched on these type of things all today. But we do it in community. What kind of community? Linked with other churches in one sense. If people come up and say, man, I just found something that is fresh and new in the Bible. It's never been heard of before. I look at them and say, there's a reason why. The point is we compare with other folks. We sit back and say, well, why am I the only one today who's come up with this? Why am I the only one today who stands on this? Who is standing in this ground? Where does the church at large stand with this? And also in our own community, as I said before, we compare one another. When we begin to feel God is calling us something through Scriptures, we might speak to people in our church and say, you know me. For me, it was, God, I know you've told me to marry this person. I'm going to marry this person. And everyone said, don't marry that person. And that wasn't Teresa, by the way. So praise God for that, my wife. Truth is found as we become hearers of the Word of God. And hearers of the Word of God, reading it and listening to us. Now, some of you say, well, I don't read the Bible. You've lost me. And I want to encourage you today to become someone who reads the Bible. Someone, if it's on your phone, whatever. I'm not saying you got to knock out the whole Bible in a year, though somebody would tell you that's the best thing to do. Fair enough. For me, I've read the whole Bible early in life and always have. But then at one point, I had to stop and slow down and go, okay, let's start to see what the Spirit's doing and speaking to us as well in that. You see, with this whole idea of becoming a hearer of God, begin to turn it over, to ruminate on it. To allow it to have a change in me, to maybe take some notes of what God is saying. Many of us look back. I think it was 2 weeks ago I talked about Peter and Paul. Mary's coming later. Well, here's Mary. We understand that Jesus got separated from his family, and none of you have ever lost your kids and left them at a truck stop like the loonies left them. It wasn't you, Joel, who got left at a truck stop. That was your older brother. I've never been left at a truck stop. But in this case, it's similar to that. Jesus gets left at a truck stop, and they travel on without him. They don't see him, and they go back to find him in the temple where he's been learning and teaching in that sense, being a part of the whole thing. And, you know, he says, why are you searching for me? I was in my father's house. Didn't you know where I'd be? And he went down to Nazareth, and he was with them, and he was obedient to Joseph and Mary. And it says here in Luke 25:1, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. She treasured them. She looked at what was going on in the life of Jesus. Understand, there was no New Testament. But she looked at the life of Jesus and began to treasure, ruminate, and say, what's going on? Now, I do that with my kids all the time. I'm in no way brought into the place of thinking that they're going to be Messiah. It's generally like, what have I done here, Lord, to mess this up? But the point is treasuring this up. I want you to look at that verse and understand this, to hold it, to treasure it. Now, I'll be honest with you. As you treasure this, there's a word. And you're hearing some words today that you say, I don't want to learn big words. Fine, skip over it. But perspicuity would be a word that you might know if you were a student of the Bible from somewhere else, from old time, you might say. And that just means that it's just simple. Just read it for what it is. And that's cool. The thing is, it's not always so easy, which is why we ruminate on it and look at it. Perspicuity is a word that sounds like you're perspiring, and you just might if you say it enough. But it just means here, the simplicity, if things are so simple, again, why do we have so many people reading the same thing and not understanding fully the same way? Which is why we read and understand and swap notes. But why is it not so perspicuous? Well, it just means it's here, that things were written to a certain people in a certain time of culture and different languages. And these things come into play when we're reading things and trying to understand that. So we try to understand. And if we don't understand it, we have someone teach us like Walter. He'll tell you all you need to know. He's a good student of Hebrew and Greek and isn't too bad with sarcasm himself. So in these kind of things, we look at and say, we look and ruminate and maybe study over. So that's point. John Wimber, who was the founder of Vineyard, said, they asked him to come do a Bible study when he finally started to run a church, and he's reading and he's explicating, exegeting the scriptures, and someone in the group says, that's not what that means. And John, if you knew him at all, he was the alpha male. And you go, what do you mean that ain't what it means? What do you think it means? And the guy reads it back to him and goes, where'd you get that? He goes, well, I bought one of these study Bibles. So John said, I might want to get one of those and try to do a little more study as I go. The point is, it sometimes goes a little bit deeper than just our understanding. So we look at some things that might bear into culture. Why am I telling you that today? Because as hearers of the Word of God, I challenge you to become students of the Word of God. And I challenge you to sit back and to say, I want to improve my understanding, if that's possible. It's always desirable. I have limitations. I have shortcomings. It doesn't mean I can't get the fullness of God every time I read. But when it comes and I'm challenging myself to hear more what God is saying, it may be necessary to look and search a little bit deeper. And so hopefully we'll see those things there. Now, so real quick, here's the Word of God. I mean, reading it, but sitting listening to God and kind of ruminating over it. A little small lesson that's here today. But the second thing you're going to see is revelation. I'll be quick here. Revelation is going to be. Truth is found through the revelation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus, but I'm going to say of Jesus Christ. Spirit of Jesus Christ, often used also of the Holy Spirit. But the reason this is powerful, because Jesus comes to us, and he sits back and he says, I'll let you write that down for a flip. Oh, you already flipped, you better go back. Give him a little time to write that. I apologize if you go one slide back there. He's got to edit it because I said something. Did something happen that was wrong? Did you write a bad word? What does Jesus sound like that we can't look at? Well, we'll leave it. Let me read it to you. Through the inspiration. Oh, no, that's wrong one. Here. Through the revelation of the Spirit. I'm going to put of Jesus there since there's not wrote up there. There, of the Spirit. And he got in Jesus Christ. And I said of. So whatever that you want to go. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to demonstrate in Jesus Christ is that when Jesus comes, he says, I've not come to erase the law, not one dot, not one little tittle. And if you would ruminate on the Word of God and try to find out what that word tittle meant, it means tittle. So there you go. That's fantastic. Which I don't know what a tittle is, but there you go. Right. It doesn't. That's probably the word he had to take out, actually, as he was going over that. So can I get the verse here real quick? No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, in his in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus comes and makes the Father fully known. All Scripture is speaking of God. Everything about Scripture, about truth, is saying this is God, this is who He is, and this is how you can know Him. You're going to read Scripture, and you're going to share life together in the community. When Jesus comes, He says, I'm the one who best represents God. You'll look at Colossians 2. He'll tell you the same thing, Colossians 1. I'm the one who represents God the most. You want to know who God is? Check Him out. Now that, if I said that, I'd get slapped by my wife. But Jesus could say that because that's who Jesus was. Now, Durwood, that's something you've always known, but as we would ruminate on that, we might understand scripturally what could that possibly mean. When Jesus comes in and He's quoting Scripture back to the Pharisees, and He's changing what Torah has said for thousands of years, He's undermining the very book. Even Paul later would do the same thing. Undermining what has been Torah, what has been the Scriptures. Jesus is saying this here. I am representing what Sabbath was always about. I am representing what all these festivals were all about. I'm representing what the temple was all about. I'm representing all these things. I've come to fulfill them. I am what everything has been pointing to. If you read Hebrews, what it says, all these things were shadows of what was to come in Christ Jesus. So when we sit back and Jesus says, love your neighbor, and the Old Testament says, an eye for an eye, you've got to understand that the eye for an eye was a nicer way than you take my eye, I take your five family members. But it was all a trajectory that's coming into Jesus who says, love your enemy. Jesus was coming to show, this was aiming at this. Love your enemies. Forgiveness. That's what it was aiming at. And in Jesus, we see the fullness of what's going on. Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying today? That's why Jesus can say things that seemingly fly in the face, because He fully knows the heart of God. And was God making mistakes in the Old Testament? I do not believe so. I believe, again, you've seen a kid who's in a growing thing. You're trying to lead them to where it's going. And Jesus becomes the fulfillment and says today, this is where we're going. You've seen it now. Here I am. And by the way, I'm out of here, which made it very, very difficult. And then what He said, but when I go to the right hand of the Father, what am I going to do? I'm going to send the one, the paraclete, who will come and teach you all the things and remind you of the things I've taught you. Completely explain the truth to you. So when we see that in Jesus, we understand that this here, that Jesus comes in a way that becomes our sponsor. He is the one to which we walk in. And when you look in Psalms and it says, oh, Lord, I want to ask you to bless those who bashed out the brains of my enemy, that's not Jesus talking. That's not what I'm sitting today giving thanks to God for those who bashed out the brains of the children of my enemies, actually what it says. I don't think any of us today are asking God to bless those who bash out the brains of any babies. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? I've been around for a long, long time, and anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father, because you've seen me? An understanding to gain, as Paul would say, the mind of Christ when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to walking this life, to how to wade through these things in the sense of show me. Paul would say this here, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And that is what we're reading in Scriptures. That's what we're experiencing in our time with Him. I want to know Him better. Let me understand what you're saying. Another way we've enlightened in our reading of Scripture, another way that we go after the truth in this sense is truth is found through the inspiration and illumination of the Spirit. That one there's for you. A couple of eyes there. You could get another eye in there if you want to. Inspiration and illumination of the Spirit. And when I'm reading the Word, obviously, these things will come. These are the things that move over me. It's the action of the Spirit that secures the Scriptures for the church. Matter of fact, when before the church had a Bible, we had the Old Bible, the Old Testament, we call there the Torah. But when we began to bring together the new Scriptures of Paul's epistles, the general epistles, Acts and certainly the Gospels. What we saw was people saying, well, which one of these are part of our scriptures today? And so you would see that even the Spirit was involved in moving over people from different cultures around the world and coming together and saying, we all agree that's what's going to be in the Bible. Now, that wasn't easy, and it went through a lot of things. Went through a lot of changes. And then when Luther and the Reformers left the Catholic Church, he cut some more of those out. So if you have a Catholic Bible and you've been told by your Protestant friends that you have a devil Bible or something, I heard those things. Don't touch that Bible. It's got stuff in there you don't want to touch, son. When I was young, that was what the Church Catholic read. And Luther would take these out because he didn't feel that they sat well with what the early church fathers would have found to be part of the canon. But having said that, he also wanted to take out several other of the Bible passages that got in there and books that were in there. I don't think he wanted James. He didn't like James's talk about works as actions and these kind of things. There was a lot of them he didn't want that are in there. But I'm going to give that to the Spirit that he could move across that many people of diverse cultures and bring together something that we're even printing today and that we go. Now you say, well, what's the purpose of that? Well, because the guidance needed to secure the text of the canon is also needed in the areas of interpretation. As he moves across us of different cultures and stuff, and we're reading over things, and we see the Orthodox Church in the East and the Latin Church of the Catholic Church in Rome, and then let's just take the Protestant faith, which, by the way, we all got the Bible, and that was to bring us together, and now we have about 40,000 different denominations. We need the Spirit to come and say, what's going on? Here I am. Here I sit. I need that, see that timely meeting that I have today as we move over these things. Bring me into the remembrance of what you said, Christ. I need to be transformed by the text. I need you to illuminate my life in there. And for some of us to read Scripture, if you've ever read Scripture and sit there and you got your little journal there, you'll start getting things from God. These aren't things you're going to preach. They're generally little personal things in your own life. Hey, get your act together. You write those notes down because the Lord is illuminating and bringing things for you to understand this there. We look at the Scriptures and we understand that the illumination was there for those original writers. That's what was going on. It inspired them and called them to write those Scriptures. Matter of fact, we see this here in 2 Peter 1. Peter writes, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. And using that word prophecy in the way you might use evangelist today or whatever, no prophecy of Scripture. He said, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They wrote down, and he's speaking of the Old Testament prophets as well, were carried along by the Holy Spirit and inspired to write these things down. I want that illumination in my life, that the whole Scripture is inspired and illuminated as it comes. God himself come down and wrote the Ten Commandments. Everything else was wrote through people, fallible people, people who wrote things down, but we believe it's inspired fully by the Father as he's come, the Holy Spirit, as he comes and reaches his own people. Now, you might say, that's all exciting. I thought we was going to get a sermon today. You're giving us a Bible lesson. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit is moving in truth and moving us toward truth. And that when we get into discrepancies over certain words, they're not worth breaking fellowship over. We come together and say, let the Holy Spirit come and decide as we walk and we challenge these things. And when you pull out your Bible and go, well, I don't know what you're thinking, but that's what it means. What else could it mean? Well, if it was that simple, then there wouldn't be 40,000 different people out there fighting over those things. And part of this is remembering that just because someone disagrees with me does not mean they're an idiot. It means they have a different take on things. And I may not like what they believe, but it doesn't make them an idiot. Though I've met some idiots, but that's not what it means. We all have, haven't we? We just need to remember as we're looking through the Bible that the Spirit was moving on people, even as it's moving on us. that weren't being written down as this doctrinal thing of, I'm getting the law down so they can live life. No, this is what the Spirit's doing in this context, what it's doing that speaks powerfully to our own lives when we look back and say, this is what was going on that time. This is what the Lord spoke to them. What's moving on in my life? What's going on here? Now, truth is also found, and here's the last one. As the Holy Spirit develops our understanding of Scripture by giving us the mind of Christ. Now, development doesn't seem like a good word, but it is. Because we're constantly being developed in our understanding of God. And if you haven't grown since you got saved, if you haven't grown in the last 10 years of your understanding of things, I would challenge you that you're not developing in that sense. I'm not saying you're throwing wholesale out things that you believe in. I'm saying that I'm looking and seeing what's going on and developing more in these understandings and ideas. For me, my understanding of the Trinity is much more developed today than it was 15 years ago. I believed in the Trinity then, I believe in the Trinity now, but understanding the fullness of the Trinitarian relationship has powerfully changed my life as one who believes in community and one who relies on others and knows how to give and not be in competition with other people. Because that's not the way the Trinity works, the social Trinity in the sense, the economic Trinity, but the sense it is the way that I am want to be is the way the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit react. And, well, they call me into this dance together of sharing their love. It's there. So I don't want to be this person who has this understanding of what it means to be a pastor is to boss people around and to give them jobs and to don't touch the Lord's anointed. These type of ideas have to be pushed aside. Suffer not the little children to come to me, Jesus would say, and then you might say, suffer not the idiots to come to me too, if that's what you were thinking. Because the truth is, no one is an idiot just because they disagree with you. Come and let's hear what each other has to say. Now, Spirit works to shed light. The truth is not something merely external. It's internal. And God's working in the mind and working to give us the mind of Christ to understand. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, Paul would write to Corinthians. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to have the mind of Christ. Again, we say he's my sponsor when I move through Scripture. He's the one I'm coming to. This is the way Jesus looks. And if I'm going and marshaling Scripture to stand behind things that I know Jesus wouldn't stand behind because I can find in Scripture, doesn't mean I'm being someone who's being real to wanting to be like Christ. It means I'm just trying to find laws to stack up to support my arguments. And that is not what I want to do. I want to be open to hear what the Lord is saying. And anytime I'm walking in a way that I'm challenged there, I have to look at it. And I can't be specific to that. Only, and I'm not, by the way, I don't have some I'm talking about behind cloaking it. I don't. I'm just saying these are my own life things. And most of my life stories come back to how to raise kids because that's a lot of my life. Come and give me the mind of Christ. Come and move on me in that way. Scripture is doing something more than just giving me interpretive or just this law-giving thing. It's a relational thing that's moving over me and growing me. Carol spoke before I did. And you're still here, Carol. You didn't leave after that, did you? She's still in the back. Praise God. A lot of people speak before me and they leave, and I appreciate that. I don't understand that. But Carol, and I'm closing here soon, but Carol, for years, taught a class, and it was the biggest thing since sliced bread, you know, that thing. And I used to kid you a lot about it then, you know. But it was precepts. And precepts is a wonderful class, but it's based on going and look at the precepts and principles of Scripture and marking them out. You did a lot of coloring. There's a lot of pretty Bibles out there because of that class. And I asked her, I said, since you've come to understand a little bit as you've developed and looking at Scripture, what's there, how has that changed things? By the way, I never challenged you on your doctrinal side with precepts at all. As a matter of fact, you taught it here in this church a couple of times, if I'm not mistaken. And but later you would come to me and say, man, I don't know. I'm looking at it hardened. I'm looking at it in ways that are bounded and not breathing. And I ask how that did. Did it scare you? Did it shake you? And she said, well, what it did, it just released life, released a whole new thing for me. When I begin to see scriptures, a living, breathing thing, not just me trying to find, you know, flipping it open today and trying to find what God's desire for me today, you know. I believe his desire is to work through us, to change us, and to call us to bring others into that kingdom. I believe that we lift up our opportunities, ask him to give us opportunities to change people's lives. I just want to say you don't do it on an airplane, but because I did say, oh, Lord, just give me an opportunity to share you on an airplane today. And that was a 14-hour flight from Zurich to Switzerland to Los Angeles, California. When I got on, they were pulling a Hindu woman away from her husband. And I didn't realize they were Hindu. I was bragging to him about my cowboy boots at one point. I was. But the funny thing is, we got to the seat. She was not sitting. Her seat wasn't next to him. They literally were pulling her away from him, and she was screaming out. And they were speaking in another language other than one I understand. And so I said, "I'll just give her." They said, "But this is your seat. She can't sit there." "I'll just give her my seat. I'll take her seat." Because I'm a Christian. And I had prayed the Lord would give me an opportunity to share. He must have something for me over here to share. And they said, well, her seat's back there. And it was in the back row that did not lean back. And it was sitting right next to a very big Greek guy who smelled like garlic. So I went and sat next to him. And he was sharing as much of my seat as I was. And nice guy, though. Really nice, which was good. But I figured the Lord is good. He's going to have me share with this Greek guy. And the Lord is really good. So there was no one sitting in the seat next to me. I was in the middle seat. So I would wait till this plane was about to take off. Surely no one purchased these seats back here. And so as they begin to close the plane, one more person was allowed on and comes back. And he's walking my way. And he's an Austrian bodybuilder. Sit right next to me. 14 hours between a Greek guy and an Austrian bodybuilder. I did not share Jesus with anyone. I needed Jesus shared with me about that. But I share that story to say nothing other than it's difficult, guys. And Scripture's meaning was being run over in my head in the depth of how I understood it at that point. That's for sure. Our heart as we seek the truth, as I say, come Holy Spirit, as we work together, reading the scriptures, hearing God, sharing with one another, sharing in unity and in the bond of peace as the Spirit moves on us, is our heart. And the Holy Spirit is active, sharper than any two-edged sword, just separating bone and marrow, just speaking into our life with these scriptures. Speak to me. Open my eyes. I see things like I used to do as a hardened Texan, which was my big thing. I'm a Texan. This is the way it goes. And I still am. But open me up to speak to me of what this might mean to someone who hasn't been as well positioned in life as I've been. Speak to me, Lord, to understand these scriptures in a way it might feel to be someone of a different gender, different race, different socioeconomic place. That's what I'm talking about, saying, come and illuminate things for me. Let me get an understanding of those to whom you're speaking to, even beyond myself. Stand with me now, if you will. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. These are very insightful things, I know. Some may even have moved in our heart in a way that have challenged us. I ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Jesus, be my song. Let your fiery love, Holy Spirit, come and hold me up. move powerfully in me today. Give me a heart and a desire for the truth, especially when I don't like it, that I'm willing to listen to you and I'm willing to listen to others. I'm willing to change because I want to grow up. I want to develop. I want to be inspired. I want things illuminated for me. I'm asking to come. Reveal to me what it meant for you to know the Father and that you have come to reveal him to me. I want this life. I want to be more than just a good moral person. I want to be more than just a good Christian. I want the fullness of the kingdom of God. And these titles that have come have maybe hemmed me in at times. I'm asking you to come and move on me to be the fullness of what you've called me to be in this kingdom of God. And to understand you, Jesus, to know the way, the truth, and the life. To come and change my heart, change my mind. As you said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Renew my mind, as Paul would write in Romans 12, 2. To understand that it's not just not doing bad things. It's, would you deal with those things that I've seen as light that are darkness and pull them out and give me the grid to see those things which you're speaking about, that I would not be a blind leading the blind, but I'd be walking and following you and shedding the light that you're shedding through me. Blessed today. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Renew our hearts and minds for this kingdom that you have called us into and given us a piece of, an inheritance for, even through Jesus Christ. And as I pray that today, if you've never given your life to Christ, and by that meaning, I've never said, you're the one, I'm ready to go. Let today be the day that you say, I want to know the one who knows the Father. I want to know the Father. I want to know this life. I want to know you, Jesus. I invite you today to give us that chance to pray with you, to answer any questions you might have, or just listen to you. If today, if you've come today and you said, I know that experience you've had of sitting between two people who were spilling into my seat in the back seat of a plane, but I'm going to put it in my life, meaning I thought it was supposed to be easy and that my prayers would lead to things that were always good, and I'm going through difficulties in life, through my marriage, through my finances, through my body is hurting, it's racked with pain. Does he care? Does Jesus care about that? That's the thing about good theology. It says, it's more than just laws and edicts. It's about the Holy Spirit moving on you and setting you free, breaking your heart for the things that break his heart. Let's pray today up here in the front. I invite you to come down that we may minister with you. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on your people and invite you to come down now. And as you're coming, I'm going to bless and pray. I would ask the ministry team to stay present to those who may come afterwards. Be blessed in the name of the Father, who loves you so much that he has come to call you and reconcile you to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he came to you when you were far away and called you to this place where he could touch you now. He's used the blood of Jesus Christ, this one Jesus, to give you a mind for the kingdom. And come be blessed in the Holy Spirit who's come now to move over us, to change us, to give us newness of life. Be blessed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ministry team, again, I ask you to be present. God bless you. Come on down and be gone. See you later. Thank you for coming.